Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's all right. I'm going to be fine. This is Wretched Radio. No, I didn't have to lay ties on a railroad track. I understand my lot in life is quite easy. God has drawn my line in pleasant places, but it was really hard on Friday. Jimmy, how many hours did we spend in this here? What do we call this now? A tomb?
We call it
the cooler. Seriously, I felt like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape. I'm just locked in a box and I've got nothing to do but throw a baseball against a wall or read the book. So here we are on Monday, and 7.5 hours was kind of pushing it. I know I shouldn't complain, but I am reading the book, which will be pre-sale available tomorrow. It is titled Go Serve Your King, The Key to Extraordinary Purpose in Everyday Life. It's written by one Todd Frielius. The foreword is by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. It is our hope that you will consider availing yourself of this book, in particular if you would like to hopefully receive a tool that will help you connect your faith to the rest of your life. Dualism is a plague where your faith sits just comfortably in spaces. And even though you might be a really faithful Christian, you can easily feel like, but I'm not living the 24/7 life because I'm doing stuff. I'm playing with the kids. I've got work to do. The lawn has to be mowed. I'm not living the Christian life. Yes, you are. And this book called Go Serve Your King will help you to see that so you can have more joy in everything you do and see how God is already in the crevices of your life. You do not need to go find where he's working. You just need to be aware that he already is. That'll be available tomorrow, and hopefully, by then, my throat will be recovered. Goes, Jimmy, we only got about a third of the way through the book.
Yeah, it was a long day.
No, it was a beating. It was an absolute beating because it was like a cruel joke. They give me the book, and I open it up to read it, and I got my cheaters on. Look at the fonts. It's got to be like 10-point font. So in the introduction, which is pretty brief, and the first chapter, Jimmy, how many times did I have to stop and go, what is that word?
Yeah.
I can't, determine. Oh, I thought it was detrimental. I couldn't see a thing. Yeah. How many times did I have to, you know the number.
Yeah, quite a bit.
200.
It's 273.
It was dreadful. So my apologies, whoever has to deal with that in post. It will be available starting tomorrow wherever you do your book buying business. You can do it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pre-orders, Walmart. All of those places will have this book available starting tomorrow. We hope that it is a blessing to you, and we'll keep banging away at the audio version of the book. More again on Friday. Jimmy, is that the next scheduled recording schedule?
That's what I've been threatened with.
Cool. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Guess what I have in the studio right now?
What's that?
A Christian dinosaur.
A Christian dinosaur?
Yeah, now Ken Ham, his ears just perked up. Not that he listens to this program, but he'd figure out some way to make it a Christian dinosaur as long as it's in Genesis someplace. No, I've got a genuine Christian dinosaur because I have a very rare species sitting at the table next to me. When was the last time you met somebody who was like Philip? The reality is, it might be Philip who is the only person that you have ever been acquainted with who is an evangelist. It is clearly a gift in the Bible that you have a gift of. There are people who have a gift of evangelism. I would even make the case that there could be an office of evangelist because it's listed with elder, deacon, evangelist. Do you know one? Yeah, you probably don't because they are such a rare bird. Philip might be the only one that you're aware of because you've read about Philip the Evangelist. Well, I happen to have one here. His name is Andrew Walkington. The cat dragged him in on Friday. Andrew, you're all jet lagged from Australia.
I'm getting better. I actually slept through the night last night.
Well, congratulations.
You know, it only took me 3 days to actually not wake up at 3 a.m. kind of go, why am I awake?
Oh, that trip is a pistol from Australia to here and back and forth. Don't worry, you're just gonna settle in after 3 weeks here, and then you're gonna have to go back and do it all over again. I hope it was worth it. The name of your organization is
OAC Ministries.
Okay, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because that actually causes problems because it's officially just been a set of initials since the early 80s. It once upon a time was known as Open Air Campaigners.
There you go.
But if I had a dollar for every time someone's asked me, what does OAC stand for? And my official answer is, it no longer officially stands for anything. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it's just...
You know, your organization needs to get in touch. You need to come to the States and meet some of these seeker-sensitive gurus. They'll come up with a name for you. It's like reaching up, reaching out, something hipper than that, but nevertheless.
Well, what I need is a Southern Baptist who can figure out what those initials should stand for. We get some alliteration in place.
We could do that for you all. You see, in America, we do things like that.
Oh, much appreciated.
Yeah. All righty. So you are in town because you are visiting different ministries.
That is correct.
And Oak.
It's been done.
Oak. Yeah. They've also got a branch here in America?
Yeah, they do. And so next week, I'm going to be up in the far north of the US, watching the way they run a particular training program and seeing what we can replicate from them. And then I'm going to spend a week in Baltimore, where I'm actually going to join those guys on the street doing some outreach. But I'm like, if I'm flying to the other side of the world, I'm going to go and visit some ministries. And you guys were very high on my list.
And you are also going to go see...
I'm off to see Mr. Ham. So yeah, I got to meet Ken a couple of years ago. I love Ken. I've got to know him a bit in the last few years. So
Can I tell you, I am so agitated with myself about Ken Ham. Don't worry, I'm agitated with him too, but I'm agitated about him.
Right.
Because he made a video. Apparently, every once in a while, the curse of Ham comes up, right? One of the children of Noah, right? And for all of these years, I failed to use it to describe him, the curse of Ken Ham. I'm so agitated I didn't think about it. I had to see his video on it to go, wait a second, he's the curse of Ham.
Yeah, you know what he wants me to call you as well, don't you?
I'm sure.
Neffel Todd. Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
I got to tell you something. This Australian's like, you show affection by taking digs at one another. Man, it is serious.
It's a serious national pastime.
No, it is.
It's got to be done properly.
It's like a seriously big. It's like, and it's not even apologetically. Like just joshing, just kidding. It's like, man, you look stupid and ugly.
It can be pretty brutal.
It's just like saying I like you.
It can be really brutal, but part of it is also that then you've got enough trust with this other person that they know that when you're having a dig at them, it's only kind of in jest.
Yeah, it's a thing. So speaking of Australia, you do open air preaching there. You do evangelism there on the streets full time.
Yeah.
You're an odd duck. And one of the things that I think people in the States in particular would appreciate is hearing what it is like as an evangelist to go out into the streets of Australia specifically. How free are you to do open air preaching and one-on-one evangelism?
Yeah, look, it's really limited. OAC, 130 something year history in Australia, started in open air preaching. We had a guy stand up on a box in the middle of Sydney and preach open air. That's our roots. The challenge is that the culture and the laws have changed to the point where the ministries had to change. So there are one or two spots in Brisbane where I'm from where I could go and do open air preaching.
That's it.
Where it's the legal thing. And if I go there and preach, I could preach to two pigeons.
They put it over there.
Yeah, they tucked it over in a corner somewhere. The center of Brisbane, there's a kind of a pedestrian mall called Queen Street Mall. Not only can I not stand up on a soapbox and preach there, I cannot stand and hand out gospel tracts. In fact, in that space, I can't even be spotted going and approaching people one-on-one for conversations. If the council spots me and figures out what I'm doing, they will fine me. So we don't have, like the US has a right to free speech. which gives you guys access to go into places and exercise that right to free speech to preach the gospel. We don't have such a right in our constitution.
That's crazy.
Well, look, it's just the roots of the way our countries come together. And so...
But as Americans, we hear that and it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You can't even walk up to somebody and say, hi, what do you believe?
If you're going to do it, you got to be discreet. You got to be careful.
But it's against the law is what you're saying.
If they think that you're making a pest of yourself to do that, then yeah, they'll fine you. Now, there are places where you've got a little bit more space. So you can be on a public footpath as long as you're not obstructing traffic and that you've got a little bit more freedom there. But sometimes you're tending to catch people who are really moving. Right,
but if I were going out in the streets and I wanted to sell these cough drops, or not sell them, just share how wonderful these Ricola cough drops are. And I started to, hey, did you hear about Ricola cough drops? Okay, they're really wonderful. And then I go to the next person. Would they stop me for that?
Potentially. I watched a short, actually, of a business in Australia get fined for promoting the laundry detergent in the middle of Queen Street Mall.
Wow. So what I'm not saying I'm a conspiracy theorist, but what I'm putting together here is the Australian government is actually running the detergent factories. That's what I picked up from that. Andrew Walkington, Oak, OAC, will share with us more evangelism in Australia, and maybe help us appreciate even more the liberty that we have to do so here. This is Wretched Radio.
You know the cycle. You're not alone. Temptation hits. You tell yourself, not this time, and then you do it anyway. You feel disgusting afterwards. You say you're sorry. You swear it'll never happen again, and then you're alone, and it does. Slaying the dragon, this is not another strategy. This is not a Band-Aid. It's not five tips to better accountability. This is an audio resource, and it's designed to give you what you need to never fall into this temptation again. Not manage it, but actually kill it. Because let's be honest about what's on the line here. Your job, your marriage, your kids, your soul. This is not a small thing you're playing with, and deep down you know it. Every man needs to hear what's in this resource, every single one, whether you're in the thick of it or you think you've got it under control. The dragon is real, and it needs to be slain. Slaying the Dragon, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Just download it on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Some struggles stay hidden for years. For many Christian women, pornography is one of them, and the shame surrounding it keeps them silent.
If you're listening and this is your struggle, I want you to know that shame and secrecy are not God's will for you.
Out of the Shadows is a three-part series from Fortis Institute hosted by our very own Libby Glosson, and it was made for the woman who believes she's the only one.
If you've written yourself off as someone outside of God's mercy, hear me. You are not too far gone. Sin is real, yes. But so is forgiveness.
Out of the Shadows, streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus with a free study guide to go along with it. You don't have to keep this struggle in the shadows because there is hope and there is forgiveness and there is freedom in Christ. Available right now at fortisplus.org.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the Word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Practicing self-control. Might. I failed. This is Wretched Radio. Do you get weary from that, Andrew Walkington from Australia?
No, look, it's I appreciate the attempts to...
Okay, come on, come on. I know it bugs you. It has to bug you. Put some shrimp on the barbie, mate. How many times have you heard that?
That one's cringy. That one's really cringy.
Andrew Walkington from Oak, OAC, open air... Well, they used to be open air campaigners, and people can see... And do you have any videos out there people can watch if they want to?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you can go and find us on... Google OAC, or you can go oac.org.au. You can find us. We got a little bit of video of us doing some stuff.
Doing some open-air preaching. Well, as much as you can in Australia. Yeah. But you can't do open-air preaching there unless it's in that little space that they give you.
Yeah, so the shift that we've made over those years then, especially in the Brisbane area where I'm based, is we focus a lot more on the one-to-one. It's a little more discreet. So rather than approaching crowds and trying to speak to a lot of people at once, we've gained a lot of traction with just teaching people to do the one-to-one. And the benefit of that is not many Christians can stand on the soapbox and do good open-air preaching. But most Christians, with a little training, can learn to share their faith in that interpersonal style. So that's where we've really invested our energy.
Well, my hope is that for anybody who's listening who's on the fence, you and I would make the distinction. People do have the gift of evangelism. Not everybody does. There are a few that do, but there are many that don't. Nevertheless, that does not relieve their responsibility to make the most of every opportunity and share the gospel. So we're all called to do that, maybe not on the streets, but to make the most of every opportunity. Maybe hearing how restrictive it is in Australia might just encourage us to go, we should be taking advantage of this, because... I don't think that any of us can prophesy how one nation will track another. But as we look at what's happening in Great Britain, as we see what's happening in Australia, you can't help but go, there's inklings of that here. There are plenty of progressives who would love to shut down Christians. And what you said earlier was fascinating. If you're just like, they perceive you're bugging somebody, you can't talk in public.
Yeah.
That's crazy to us, and yet it could be coming.
Look, you never know. And I think you guys have got much better protections built into your government systems than we do. You guys have got some constitutional rights that have kind of been ingrained. But I mean, no one, constitutions can be changed. You get the wrong government in for long enough.
Yeah.
You can lose those freedoms.
It's real hard to do that, but they can nevertheless, if they permeate government, they can shut it down on the local level. And yes, you can do the court route, but that can take years also.
But it's not impossible that you guys can lose freedom.
It's not impossible.
So, I take the encouragement.
We can lose our freedoms, but I hope that we would be encouraged. Get on it. In particular, what would you say is, even in Australia, the best place to do one-on-one witnessing?
Got to be universities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't go onto the university itself because it is essentially privately managed. I know that makes you scream about it, But what I've got there is there's a little funnel of space on the entrance of the university. And look, it is the best spot, because I think university students are just some of the best. We used to language fishing with evangelism. It's the best fishing there is.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And they, before they get in the gates and they're walking from their public transport or whatever else, I can be there for hours and hours, and they're just coming and going.
And you arrest them and talk to them.
Yeah, and the conversations are amazing.
Now, have you noticed though, Andrew? I have, and I don't want to taint you in your answer. Have you noticed a change in the receptivity of the university students over the last 5 years?
I've been doing it in some form or other for about 20 years, and I've noticed a really big change. And I know others have spotted this too. And the really big shift is, my demographic, which is the young white Caucasian guy, used to be considered the hardest demographic to reach. We were just closed down. Those have become some of the easiest fishing there is. There's been a cultural shift the last few years. If you will ask people the right questions and you will encourage them to share their responses, they just open up. And it's amazing, because I've had students stop and talk to me for an hour.
Oh, it happens 2 hours. All the time.
And then the funny one is when they finish the conversation, I say, well, what are you going to do now? And they're like, oh, actually, I don't know. I just missed my class. Yep. I stayed here and I talked to you the whole time. They would rather stay and talk to me about this stuff than go and sit on an economics lecture.
What do you suppose it is? that has caused this shift, whether it's white, black, purple, I don't care, that there's a difference.
I suspect that something in the last few years, and maybe you point it back to the whole COVID lockdowns, I think the culture is shifting. We see that real sort of polemical divide between the left and the right politically. I think it's created an uncertainty in people's minds about who I am, what do I believe, why do I believe it? And if you'll dig into that with, the right questions and ask them, why do you hold the views you do? Where did you get that from? Did you actually think it through, or did you kind of just absorb that worldview from somewhere? Most of the time, they kind of scratch their heads and go, you know what? I actually don't know where I got this, and I don't know why I hold it, and I don't know why I believe it. And then that starts opening the door to move from there to say, well, what other views have you considered? Do you understand the Christian worldview? What do you know about it? Most of the time it's wrong. And so then that opens the door for us to preach the gospel.
Now, your big thing, because you spent time at Alpharetta Bible Church yesterday talking to us about evangelism after church.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you said, if you remember nothing else from the 2 hours you chatted with us, ask questions.
Yes.
Ask questions, especially up front.
Yeah, especially up front. Because one of the things, especially ministry in the public, but it's the same if you're chatting to your neighbor over the
private,
fence.
Private, it doesn't matter.
They don't have to stay and listen to you. There's no expectation that says, you will stand there while I tell you about Jesus. That right has to be earned. We have to have we have to earn the right to be heard. And so by asking—
Okay. Let me just suggest to you, because we've talked about this, that zip codes make a difference.
Yeah.
Okay? In Australia, that might be true, that the asking questions because they don't need to listen to you. It's so polite in the South. They do have to listen to it. No, seriously.
Yeah.
They just, I don't think one time in the South somebody said, look, I'm done with you. You're talking about Jesus. I'm out of here. Never. They stay. Having said that, I still affirm what you're pushing, and that is ask questions.
Look,
it still is a powerful tool.
It might be in the South that they feel they have to, but by asking questions, you're going to increase the, they
exactly.
want to be, they want to stay there. They want to engage. They want to listen to
you. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's because everyone has a favorite topic.
Uh-huh.
Their favorite topic, everyone's favorite topic in the whole wide world is me and my opinions. And so I unapologetically exploit that. I go up to a person and I'm asking them for their views. Why do they hold the things they do? How did they come to these? I'll spend quite some time asking questions of them and the views they hold. Now, half the time, their worldview starts to collide with itself as they do that. And they see that. And it's not too long before they start to, they kind of look at you like, okay, I clearly haven't got this put together. Do you have anything for me? And I then get to shift to what I believe and why I believe it and how I came to these conclusions.
How many minutes will you spend doing that?
Look, really, sometimes it can happen in just a couple of minutes, depending on the worldview they've started with. I've had that last over an hour before I eventually start kind of moving into the gospel proper. So an hour would be really, really long. But yeah, easily 15, 20 minutes. It's
And what that does is it allows the person to think you're not there to assail them. You're asking them about their favorite subject, themselves. And it does buy you some cred that it doesn't make it seem like you're just there to push something on them. And I think that works wherever you go.
Absolutely.
And it does make the conversation better. And you make a distinction between objective and subjective questions.
Yeah. So objective questions of objective is these are hard facts, these exist, and regardless of my opinions, my preferences, these things are true. Subjective is, it's like, what's the best flavor of ice cream? If I say it's coffee and you say it's something else.
I would actually agree with you.
Okay, so this didn't work. Okay, so, but you know, if you said it's vanilla or something like that, then, you know, what I believe is the best flavor of ice cream, and what you believe might be two very different things. When I'm asking early questions, I'm going to ask a lot more subjective stuff. You know, why do you, you know, how did you reach this? You know, there's going to be inklings of where's your evidence in there. But I want to kind of understand the person. And you're going to have a difference between open questions that really invite the person to speak. And then further on in the conversation, I'm still going to use questions, but some of them are going to be a little more closed because I want to start leading them to conclusions.
Okay, so for instance, I have said over the years, a great question that you can ask people out at any time of the year is, hey, do you celebrate Easter?
Mm.
Okay. You would say that's more of an objective question because there's a right and wrong answer about what Easter is.
Yeah.
So you would probably say, A better question would be...
My favorite question, I'll stop someone and say, hey, excuse me, stopping someone at random to ask them a really deep philosophical question. What do you believe happens when we die? Do you have any theories? And I've emphasized, I'm really asking you for your opinion. And you get a range. Some people have a view that they've had already. Some people have no idea and they don't know how you actually build an answer for that.
And you get to then engage with them by doing some wise question asking. Andrew Walkington, OAC, formerly known as Open Air. Who's in charge of your marketing department? Your branding people have really got to go online and start looking into the seeker-sensitive branding business.
Yeah, maybe.
And you can also see, Andrew, what's the web address where they might find you?
oac.org.au.
That's a lot. oac.org.au. If and you happen to be listening via radio, sorry, we're going to keep talking to Andrew Walkington. And you can hear the entire hour at fortisplus.org or wherever you do your podcasting business. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your Daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A federal appeals court has ruled that the First Amendment protects a man's right to keep computer-generated images of child sexual abuse in his own home. Yeah, that's right. The Seventh Circuit sided with a Wisconsin man who used an AI image generator to make thousands of those pictures. And because no real child was photographed, the court treated the material as ordinary obscenity. And a 1969 Supreme Court ruling says the government cannot punish you for obscene material you keep privately at home. The judge who wrote the opinion then asked the Supreme Court to take the question back up because the software now makes pictures nobody can tell apart from photographs of real abuse. And in Canada, the argument is over what the law should allow. The Quebec College of Physicians, which licenses doctors in that province, has confirmed that it still supports extending Canada's euthanasia program to newborn babies. Its position is that when a baby is born with severe malformations and pain that cannot be relieved, parents should be able to ask a doctor to end the child's life, and it calls that care. Killing a newborn is not care, and no amount of clinical vocabulary makes it so. Canada legalized euthanasia 10 years ago for adults with terminal illness and has since recorded 94,000 deaths. And in California, the question is what the state should celebrate. A bill making two Islamic holy days official state holidays sits one Senate vote from Governor Newsom's desk, and that vote will happen soon when the session ends. State workers could take paid leave and school districts could close. And the provision that draws a lot of pushback is a little bit further down in the language. Schools that close may hold exercises celebrating what the holiday means, with the State Board of Education writing the curriculum. The California Family Council calls that promoting a religion, not teaching about one. And Florida is answering a different question about public money, not what to celebrate, but what to buy. Governor Ron DeSantis has made Florida the first state to put item-by-item limits on cash welfare, so the $250 a month families get on a benefits card can no longer buy tattoos, theme park tickets, video games, vapes, pornography, or fortune-telling services. Federal health officials signed off last week and want other states to follow, which tells you that in 49 other states, the taxpayers are still covering someone's palm reading. Washington drew a line of its own last week on a map. President Trump signed an executive order renaming Lake Ontario as Lake America, part of an escalating trade fight with Canada. The Interior Department updated the federal names database and Google Maps followed over the weekend. Americans now see Lake America and Canadians still see Lake Ontario. Prime Minister Mark Carney says it is Lake Ontario today and forever. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Sitkinu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Does your church have an evangelism program? This is Wretched Radio. Reality, most churches don't. There are few. They are the exception these days. I think that every good evangelical church, of course, because that's actually our name, evangelical, we're to be sharing the good news, would put an emphasis on sharing the gospel. But is there any sort of directed, concerted effort in your church to reach the lost? Joining us in studio, Andrew, I'm having a hard time talking. I mean, not just my throat.
I was going to say, is there something wrong with your throat there? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a cough drop. And it's real. And now it's creating too much spit and I'm drooling.
You get the clicking noise when it hits your teeth and that sort of stuff.
And I got the clicking noise. My apologies for that. I'm not going to whimper. Well, anymore.
Much.
Yeah, much. It went on for days reading this book. It's called Go Serve Your King by one Todd Frielius, forward by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. It's available tomorrow for pre-sale. Would you please consider participating in this book campaign? I hope it will bless you. It would also be marvelous if there were oodles of pre-sales, because it really does help with the distribution and where these books get placed. The more books that are purchased in advance, the higher profile they get at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, airports. Oh, those airport book sales. I'm telling you, that's a great... Well, everybody's in the airport, and they're already a little jittery anyway. Have you known... You know what all the top bestsellers are in the airports these days, Andrew?
Some of them have titles that you can't say on radio.
Well,
I've seen a couple of those.
There's that where there can be a little bit of that. But the top booksellers are all about you.
It's all self-help stuff.
Oh, self-help, you know, getting over and relationships. And this is how you need to ghost people. So if and you will participate in pre-sales, it'll help us to compete with those folks. It's called Go Serve Your King. And there will also be an audio version once we finally get through that beating of a process. Andrew Walkington is from Open Air Campaigners, oac.org.au, joining us in studio, because part of what you do, Andrew, is you travel around to churches encouraging them to get on it.
Yeah.
Start evangelizing. In your experience doing this for 20 some years, by the way, I do have to disagree with you on something you said earlier. You described your demographic is young white guys.
I'm not young anymore.
You're not that young anymore.
I got a bit of gray in there.
Wake up. How many kids do you have?
We got 4 kids.
See, by dad, you can't be young when you got 4 kids. You're just old. That's
funny,
it.
Yeah, funny thing is all the uni students that I'm now meeting, I'm old enough to be their dad.
Uh-huh.
That hurts.
But you know what I've noticed? It doesn't matter.
No,
they
I don't care what
age you are.
I actually think they enjoy hanging out with a guy who's considerably older and taking an interest in them.
I firmly agree with that. Absolutely. They want somebody to care.
Yeah.
And I think also, they might not articulate it, but I think they also, they get a sense of, okay, look, the guy's got shoes on, he's got a haircut, he's kind of made it, and I'm struggling to make it. So if you can help me to make it and get to like where you are, I think they're grateful. They're looking for that so desperately at universities.
Yeah, I reckon.
Because they are lacking the guidance that they need, and they've got voices clamoring all over the place telling them to be, you know, gamers and waste their lives doing nothing and, you know, watch pornography. They're looking for something, and it is very effective to go to the university. But if you can't go to uni, there are other places that you can go to evangelize, like the people you work with, the people that you live next to, your own family, for that matter. You don't have to be an evangelist like you are, but you go to churches over the years, percentage. How many churches have any sort of formal evangelism focus?
Yeah, that wouldn't be many. I don't, whatever it is, it's low. It's, I think a lot of churches, as you said, they know they should be getting people to share the gospel. And if you ask them, they say, are you passionate about gospel ministry? They say, yes, absolutely. How many of them have taken the steps to put a program in place? Next to none. And it's usually only the places where you've got a pastor or an elder at the top of the tree who has a real passion for it themselves. I think one of the biggest challenges a lot of churches face, and this, look, more in Australia, I can speak for that more than I can for here. Most guys who go through seminary, train to be pastors, they don't know how to do the gospel ministry to non-Christians. They speak amazing, fluent Christianese. They know their theology. They know how to pastorally care for people. But if you ask them how to share the gospel with someone that's unchurched, they really don't know how to do it themselves.
That's a massive problem, because if they can't do it one-on-one, you know what that means. They're not doing it from the pulpit. This is one of my really major pet peeves is that we've so forsaken the necessity of the accuracy of the proclamation of the gospel, that we use Christianese and we think that we're talking about the gospel, and we are talking about it, but we're not presenting the gospel. And if you listen carefully, most, I don't know if it's 51% or 90%, but most gospel presentations, if somebody were uninitiated into Christianity, they would have absolutely no idea what the gospel is when they're done.
100%. And I mean, you think about all the words that we use that really they're jargon. I stopped a few young people last night when we were out having dinner, and these kids knew all the language, all the phraseology. Most of them didn't know what it meant. And so you think of the average unchurched person, you use a word like faith, and what they equate that with is blind faith. Faith to them means what you did is you're believing something that is irrational. So you've disconnected your brain at the door, walked in, you're believing irrational things. And of course, that's not how we'd understand faith at all. We believe faith is I have good, confident reason to believe something is true that I can't see with my own eyes.
Well, it's that type of person who's able to talk about it, they might be saved. They might be saved, but there's an equally or greater possibility they might not, because if you can't articulate the very basics of the Christian faith, something is wrong. So just for yucks, Andrew, if you're talking to somebody, and you're going to get it when you're down here in the South, you're going to get a lot of those folks. And they talk all around it, and it's like, well, no, that's not really the gospel. Because one of my favorite questions here, when somebody says they go to church, they're a Christian, cool. You can ask somebody here. You try me on this. Hi, are you a Christian? That is not offensive here. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I am, or I went to church. Cool. Could you tell me what the gospel is? And inevitably, what will have to happen is I will talk through it and explain God's character and nature, how we violated his laws, what we deserve, what Jesus has done, what our response should be. And they go, that's it. Where do you classify that person?
Yeah, that's concerning, isn't it? I ask a similar question. So I don't ask, what is the gospel? I use the old evangelism explosion. If you died, you stood before God today and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And the answers are almost always wrong. But when you do get someone that's had that church background, and they say, well, I can only go to heaven because Jesus died for me. My instinct is then to keep digging and, well, what do you mean by that? And that's suddenly they've got this cliche at the surface. It's the right answer. But they've got no idea what that means. They don't understand why Jesus had to die. Why was it necessary? How does Jesus' death actually deal with the problem of my sin if they know and understand what sin is? And so often people that are churched, they know the right language, but they don't know how to send it any deeper than that. They don't actually understand what those things mean.
So again, what do you do with that person?
I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep asking questions until I hit a point where either it becomes really clear they've missed the point, and I'm going to then evangelize them. I'm going to go, okay, that's not quite what that means. Let me help you understand it. I'm going to walk them back through it. Or I'm going to hit the point where it goes, okay, actually underneath you have got this. Maybe you can't articulate it very well, but okay, maybe I think genuinely that you are probably a Christian, in which case I'm going to start asking questions. Mm-hmm. Where do you go to church? How much are you reading your Bible? What is the Christian life?
Diagnostic questions.
Diagnostic stuff. I've had the conviction for a long time that I will never, ever stop when someone tells me they are a Christian, even if they give me an initial few right answers. I'm going to keep digging, even to the risk of annoying them.
But a real Christian won't get annoyed.
They really shouldn't get annoyed. I've had a couple of genuine Christians kind of go, look, I really don't know why you're attacking my beliefs here, and it turned out they really were Christians. They just they the approach they found a bit. I said, well, look,
so it's this you,
is, yeah,
you're and, the problem, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm the problem. I usually am, but that's another story. I'll open up Matthew 7 and say, well, this is why I'm asking the question. Jesus says there's going to be plenty of people on that day that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And he says, I never knew you. I would rather spend these extra few minutes with you. Just let's go a little deeper. Let's examine. Because you know what? The worst thing in the world would be on that day, your eyes meet mine. I stopped checking because you gave me the right Christian answers, but it turns out you had it wrong and you find yourself on the other side of God's judgment.
Well, get ready, because that is going to be the majority of your experience while you're in the South. Because people are initiated. They're familiar with Christianity, but so often, and By the way, Jimmy, do you know what church I'm thinking about right now in the midst of this conversation with Andrew Walkington? When you ask people if they know the gospel and they fumble and bumble.
Yeah.
What church am I thinking of?
Is it North?
And which way does it point?
Well, you just said it. It points.
I don't want to use the name of it. That would be so awkward. Andrew Walkington of Open Air Campaigners, oac.org.au. You can learn more about the ministry. They are located, of course, in Australia, but also you got some plants. You got something going on here in the States
because
you're going to be visiting them. oac.org.au. When we return with our guest, Andrew Walkington, how you can start an evangelistic conversation. Next on Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot-button issues, you're going to get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. A Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now, except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of Scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Seed of the Woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How to start an evangelistic conversation. This is Wretched Radio. Andrew Walkington of oac.org.au. That's right. He's from Australia. I put an end at the end because you guys kind of do a little bit, which is weird because let me ask you, that organ that's on the left side of your chest that moves blood through your body in Australia, why doesn't it have the letter R in it?
The heart.
Exactly. It's got an R. Rev your R's, Andrew. It'd be you've got an R in Andrew.
Yeah. Managed to find one there.
You hit that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other R's, you Australians, you kind of, it's a softer British sort of thing.
Yeah, look, and mine's probably not as pronounced as other Australian accents, partly because of what I do is communication. I've just trained myself to be pretty clear. But yeah, you definitely meet some Australians. They sound a whole lot like this, and they kind of got a bit of an Aussie drawl going. It's pretty pronounced.
Now, is that particular accent, which you nailed, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Is that one where you would say those people are a particular class of Australian? They're the less educated?
Not necessarily less educated. You definitely have regional accents like you do here in the States.
Yeah.
So you get far north up in northern Queensland where I'm from. They get really kind of slow and drawly, sort of the vowels lengthen and that sort of stuff. You get down to Adelaide in South Australia, they sound quite British.
Oh, is that right?
So yeah, so it's you sort of get and basically move more country, people get more drawly.
Yeah.
More city tend to be a little bit
in the south here. There are oodles of accents. I mean, there's a wide variety, and the one that I think is prettiest, I think, is from South Carolina. And even though Charles Stanley was not from South Carolina, he had that South Carolina.
I know the one.
Oh man, it's pretty. It's to me, it's genteel, and it's lilty, and he just had that charming sound to it.
It is. You consume enough American media when you're living in Australia, you can sort of pick the accents a little bit if you kind of know what you're listening for.
All right, so your accent is genuinely Australian because that is where you're from. That is where your ministry is. You hit the streets. You do well. You don't do open air preaching anymore because they'll shoot you. No, they can't. Well, you don't have guns there either, do you?
No, they're trying to, and the ones we do have, they're trying to take away because people misuse them. And so we've got a very left-leaning government there at the moment, which means that Christian freedoms
Includes gun ownership.
Yeah, well, let's look again. We don't look at that quite the same in Australia as you do here, but that's
Well, you need to read your Bibles more because that's a part of being a Christian. You have to own a gun. Trust me on this one. Let's talk about conversation starters because I think that's oftentimes people's greatest. How do I get started with a conversation? First of all, do I even need one?
Not necessarily. I think are we talking like cold contact conversation starters.
I'm sitting in a plane.
All right. I mean, like I guess I have the easiest cheat on that one because people say, where are you going? What are you doing? What do you do for a living? And I go, oh, I'm in Christian ministry. It's kind of, here, there's an open door for you.
I agree.
You and I have got it really easy being in ministry like that. But I think ultimately, if you get to chat to someone on a plane, if they haven't already stuck their earbuds in and gone into their own little zone, you know, just to get, you get chit-chatting with someone. Again, if you ask them questions about who are you, what do you do, just learn about them a little bit. Sooner or later, you're going to find something in there that leads to a spiritual question.
But again, it's emphasizing, though, ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you headed? What do you do? Oh, family? Tell me about the kids.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite. Do you go to church?
Yeah.
You've got to ultimately get there.
Yeah, I mean, in Australia, that one's probably
going to work.
It's going to be a lower percentage.
But we don't care about Australia because we're America.
Yeah,
we don't care about any other country.
Are there other countries?
It works here.
I bet it works.
It does work here.
Yeah,
because we've got 350,000 churches in America.
Yeah, look, I've heard you do it, you know, on the Witness Wednesdays and stuff like that. You know, oh, you're from the Bible Belt. Are you a Bible Belter?
Yeah.
I used that yesterday. I thought it was great. It was easy.
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't need one, but ultimately you do need to. If you hear something, you can pull it out. You probably in an airplane don't want to say, so if the plane crashed, what would happen to you?
Yeah, that's a little dark.
But you do need to at some point be able to think of something to ask, and you simply have to shatter it. You need to break the wall and walk through the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to ask people just a basic question about, hey, look, I'm just really curious. This is something I've been thinking lately. I'm really curious what you believe about the afterlife, the existence. Do you have a religious background? It's something that's really important in my life. I'm just curious as to what you believe. But you got to stay there. So what you can't do is throw a question like that and then suddenly go into preacher mode. And it's like this is a pivot question that I'm going to use to preach to you. No, no, you ask the question and you stay there. And you stay there for a while because there's a disingenuous sort of aspect if I say, I'm going to throw you this right-hand turn question only because I want to get onto my agenda. People smell that. They don't like it. You don't like that when someone does it to you. So ask the question and genuinely keep following it up. Learn who this person is. Learn what they believe. Learn why they believe it. If for no other reason, well, there's two big reasons. One, you want to know what they believe. But two, how much does it actually show love to the person that you're willing to spend the time focusing on them and not just fishing for information, but genuinely getting to know them and their world?
And I would also say that, actually, I could sharpen that up for you.
Please
do. A little bit, yeah. What you need to do is you need to be on your little screen in the chair in front of you that tells you where you're at in the flight. Time it so you've got about 30 minutes before the descent. So then you can ask them questions about themselves for 30 minutes. Then on the descent, you turn the table, share the gospel with them. The plane lands and you don't have any awkward moments. See?
Yeah, look.
Timing is everything. However, what I would say, though, seriously, is that by asking them those questions, let's just say you don't even get to the gospel. I think this concerns a lot of people. If they shut me down, I didn't share the gospel. Well, properly, you didn't share the gospel because they shut you down. But that doesn't mean the Lord won't use even that question to get them thinking.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you hear the testimony of someone who had a question that provoked them? They went away and thought about it. It just got stuck in their head. And eventually it gets to the point where they go, I got to go find someone who can give me answers. They go seek out a local church. The pastor shares the gospel with them and they get saved. I mean, that's kind of my journey. I got someone put a thought in my head that went around for weeks and weeks and weeks till I eventually went and found a church.
But you've got OCD, so that's different.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a little bit of something going on there, but it's, but no, look, that sort of stuff, it does. You're right.
My point is, It shouldn't give us license to be lazy. It's like, well, I just asked him a question. That's enough.
I've done my job, yeah.
Greg Kokel, I love his stuff. He and I have a disagreement because he says, you just want to put a pebble in their shoe. And I say, well, you put a pebble in their shoe, all they do is get a sore foot. You got to do everything you can to get as much information as you can. But if you can't, don't feel like it was a flop.
If you didn't get to the gospel with them, but you have proverbially put the pebble in their shoe in the process, that's still... it's still something.
I agree.
But
yeah,
but look for that extra opportunity to then explain what you believe. And oftentimes what it's going to come around to is as you've asked them questions about their worldview, and we know because Christianity is the true answer to these things, their worldview is inevitably going to collide into itself. When it collides with itself and they start scratching their head and go, yeah, actually, I don't know why that I believe that. And they look back to you and go, well, do you have this figured out?
I like that so much more than presuppositional apologetics, because presuppositional apologetics just angers people. But you, just by asking questions, they tie themselves in a knot. You don't have to tie them in a knot. All right, what was the thing you said yesterday at Alpharetta Bible Church about humility? That there's a difference between
humility and being humiliated.
Yeah.
So this is particularly a trap for those people who get into the world of apologetics. They learn to run rhetorical rings around the person that they're speaking to. And all that does for the other person is make them feel silly because they can't best you in the rhetorical debate. And they end up kind of getting jaded against you. These Christians, all they like to do is make you feel silly. And God gives grace to the humble. It doesn't say God gives grace to the humiliated. Humbling myself is confronted with truth, I bring myself low. Humiliated is someone else squashes right, me low. Right. Both result in us being taken low, but with a totally different attitude to it. And humiliating a person, I've been doing this a long time. You'd be hard pressed to find an apologetic question that I have not encountered before and don't know how to answer.
There's only about five anyway.
There's a handful of really big ones. But the fact is that there's, especially working with uni students who are 20-something years younger than me, I can run them in circles. And it wouldn't help them.
That's not the goal.
It wouldn't help them in the slightest to do that, because all they do is they walk away going, wow, that smarty bum Christian, he knows everything. But instead, I'll use just enough apologetics that I can show that there's something robust about what I believe and why I believe it, then I want to move to the gospel.
It's a tool. Nobody gets saved from apologetics. They get saved from the gospel. But we use apologetics to defend when they ask for the reason of the hope that lies within us. Andrew Walkington, OAC. It used to be called Open Air Campaigners. We don't understand why. We're going to get a committee to research that. In the meantime, you can find him and his organization, oac.org.au. Well, we can in America. Let's take advantage of the laws that we have to make disciples. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.